magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, June 5th, 2019. We have a special guest in the studio, and I don't know if I should refer to him as doctor or pastor or small group leader, author, evangelist, church planner, missionary.
Maybe Jim.
Yeah, Jim. So, Marianne, in a moment or two, I'm going to have you introduce the special guest, and we're excited because he recently wrote a story that's in this month's edition of the Prime Life Times, the June edition. So we're going to have him read that, share some of the exciting things he's doing around the world.
Really?
But he's a local, born in Peoria.
That's pretty local.
Pretty local, and he served in Urbana here for many years, so we're going to talk about him. But first, I have to share a little shout-out for a special new friend. His name is Paul. He's the manager of the Casey's in Urbana on University Avenue.
I like their pizzas.
Yeah. Well, we're going to try to work out a deal, too. I don't know if it's all going to come together where maybe on Fridays or something we'll give out a Casey's pizza over the air.
Oh, I like this plan.
We're trying to work that out. We'll see how it happens. But I went in on Tuesday to see if they would allow the Prime Life Times papers to be there because it's a very busy Casey's right on University. And sure, bring a rack in. So I zip back with Holly and we put the rack in right at the front counter. And then, you know, I formalized it through a letter and such. And I told him about Prime Life Times and he said he'd need to talk to a district manager eventually to make sure it's all okay. But he thought it'd be fine. And so I think they're looking for an assistant manager.
Oh.
You know, you go right in there and apply. And,
all right. Well, next time you and Holly go out there, you need to bring back pizza for everybody.
Get a pizza. We'll work
like
on that. So, yeah, that's another location. Hopefully I'll be in Indiana in the next few days, putting our stands in some new towns and counties in Indiana and ever-growing paper. We had a great Prime Life Times meeting yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
Whole staff was in here, so it was fun to get everyone together, and we can't wait to see how God continues to use the Prime Life Times. But this special guest who has the edition in front of him, who's going to be reading a story. Who is this, Marianne?
This is Jim Eggly, and I was excited to find out that he went to the same school I did, although he was in graduate school. But anyway, Lincoln Christian Seminary.
Yeah, you guys connected because of your heart for Africa and for those that are lost and mission work. And so I was like, wow, I need to start recording right away as you were sharing and recounting various stories.
That was a great conversation. And Jim has been a pastor at the Vineyard in Urbana, I think it
That's right.
Yeah, for nearly 20 years. And you still go there. But
that's right.
You were led to become a missionary, basically, and you're with a fantastic organization I'm just learning about, New Generations, equipping church planters in Africa and Asia. That's incredible.
Yeah,
wow.
So it's so good to be here.
Was it at the age of 50 when you had that special dream? I read one of your blogs recently how that was fulfilled, and now you see where God has led you. So we'll have to touch on some of these God sightings.
I just can't wait to hear more about all of it.
Yeah, good. Thank you so much. So good to be here.
Thank you.
So I'd be remiss if we didn't have a shout-out for Vicki. Tell us a little about meeting up with this godly woman that has co-served with you in various roles.
Yeah, so I'm married to an amazing, beautiful wife. We've been married 41 years.
Wow.
So, yeah. Anyway, she especially has a heart for Africa, and we lived there for 3 years, from 1980 to 83, and she was so sad when we left Africa, and she kind of left her heart there. So now our primary ministry is overseas, and so she's just thrilled.
That's great.
And, yeah, she just loves it. I'm always kind of afraid when we go, like, is she going to come home with me, you know?
Yes.
But anyway, we're very blessed.
And that ministry is called New Generations.
That's right. Right.
And was that part of the fulfillment of that dream some years ago? Like, how do you go from a pastor, pretty secured in a position, you know, serving, loving it, vibrant congregation, you like what you're doing, to suddenly say, honey, I think we're going to pack up and God's leading us overseas and we're going to do something very new and different. And I'm not sure how it's all going to work, but I feel strongly God is leading us. How's that happen?
Yeah, well, I mean, she kids me. She's like, God had to give you a dream because he could have just whispered to me.
And
I would have left. Yeah,
she's
more passionate about it than I am.
Wholehearted.
So, yeah, that's right.
Wow. So what do you do? What does New Generations do when you go into the area?
So we work for a very unique mission that's doing missions really in an entirely new way. So our whole mission is church planting among unreached people groups. But the mission's original name was San Jose Rescue Mission. It was an inner city ministry to homeless and alcoholics and addicts in San Jose, California. And then the ministry expanded to 5 other U.S. cities. But then when the mission was 40 years old, they felt like, you know, we've seen thousands of lives transformed, and we've been working with inner city kids. We've seen lives and families transformed, but what if we were supposed to transform whole communities? What if we were supposed to take the gospel to places it never was before? So this inner city U.S. ministry decided, we feel God's calling us to plant thousands of churches where there's never been churches before. Well, how are you going to plant thousands? You're going to have to mobilize nationals. Hmm. So that's our whole focus. And Vicki and I are the curriculum coordinators. Our job is to improve the training that's being done in Africa and Asia to reach unreached people groups. Both our mission, and then it's our job to help other ministries that want to mobilize nationals in more effective ways.
Wow. So do you go in, you and your wife, and like work with pastors or the laity or people that just have a heart for reaching other people? Or are these like the indigenous, I don't know what the right word, the people that live in those countries,
indigenous.
You go and train them to go and reach their neighbors and friends and family members?
Exactly. Really, we're just putting training tools in their hands. Even the trainers now, originally the trainers were Americans, but now even the trainers are Africans and Asians.
Mm-hmm.
So it's totally about mobilizing an army. And what we say is, if the Great Commission is going to be fulfilled, it's going to have to be done by ordinary people. Like, mm-hmm. we don't need educated people. I mean, there's nothing wrong with education, mm-hmm. you know, and I have my doctorate and so on. But if it requires extremely gifted people or extremely trained people, we're never going to reach the billions of unreached mm-hmm. people. It's all about ordinary people who have been with Jesus.
Right.
So I don't know if you know that scripture. It's like Acts 4:13. It's like Peter and John, this lame person's healed, and then the Pharisees and Sanhedrin say, you guys need to shut up. And they're like, we can't shut up.
Right.
You know, we're going to obey God rather than you. And then it says that the Sanhedrin noticed that they were unschooled, ordinary people who had been with Jesus.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So that's like our goal. Our goal is to take ordinary people and just teach them, you take time with Jesus, and then here's methods for reaching your friends and relatives and multiplying disciples and small groups and leaders and churches. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah.
So did you were involved with small group training of leaders.
Right.
Has that come to play, that ability to train?
Right. Yeah, so that's right. So, yeah, my doctorate is in, my PhD from Regent University was focused on what makes small groups grow.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, this is really a small group discipleship method at the heart of it.
Right.
It's church planning movements, but at the heart of it is a simple small group method that helps people immediately obey what they feel God's saying to them through the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I just happened to have in front of me a book called Small Groups, Big Impact, Connecting People to God and One Another and Thriving Groups. If somebody was interested in our conversation or small groups, or they're a small group leader or they're a pastor and they're thinking, we need to launch small groups in our church, would this be a resource or something?
Yeah, that would be a great book. And this other book that I brought to show you, Miraculous Movements, talks how this is being used on the mission field.
Mm-hmm.
And and really more, it focuses more on this newer discipleship method. And the Small Groups Big Impact book is, what are the biblical principles that create thriving home groups?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
so,
if somebody was interested or wanted to purchase it or preview it or look at it, do they go to New Generations? Where do they, what website?
Amazon.
Okay, Amazon.
Yeah, Jim Angley, EGLI, Small Groups, Big Impact. And the newer book, Miraculous Movements, is by my coworker, Jerry Trousdale.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Trousdale is Trousdale, Jerry, G-E-R-R-Y, mm-hmm. Miraculous Movements, or you can search on Google, Big Impact, and then Jim Angley, EGLI.
And so you're really, I mean, this Miraculous Movements, you're really planting churches to create movements. It's not just like a church here and a small group over there and
so we consider something a movement. This is missiologists. If mm-hmm. 100 churches have been planted in a relatively short amount of time to fourth generation, like the church plants a church that, you know, like great-great-grandchild churches.
Okay.
Yeah, four generations. So the whole goal is, like in the New Testament, like in the book of Acts, the gospel goes viral. That's the goal.
The gospel goes viral,
yeah.
Wow. Now, you've authored a variety of things in these books and other writings, and yet you also contributed some content to our Prime Life Times. I think, did Rob Seenberg, our copy editor, work that through to
you,
Marion?
Yeah, I think you and he know each other, and he just said, this is a great article, and it is. A little bit different subject than what we've been talking about, but very touching.
Yeah, thank you. It's just a human interest. Rob told me how he writes for Prime Life Times.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I have an interesting story. Could I send it to you? Mm-hmm. And maybe it would be of interest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'd love for you to read it. We do have time, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And in case you just tuned in, we have Jim Egli in the studio. Many of you might be familiar with him.
Probably
maybe
are.
He was your pastor for many years at the Vineyard Church, or you attended a small group that you went through his study, or you just knew him from maybe Lincoln Christian College. Was it
Lincoln Christian Seminary?
Now I think it's had a name.
Lincoln Christian University.
Oh,
now.
That's right. That's what it is.
Yes,
right.
Yes. And he's lived locally here, born in, I think you said, Peoria, an Illinoisan, and then he and his wife have served in Africa. And now, currently, where's your residence, and where would you spend the preponderance of your time?
We still live in Champaign. We travel about a third of the time.
Okay. Wow. So, and you're heading out to Kenya here.
Yeah, we will
soon.
Be leaving for Kenya Saturday.
Oh, wow.
So.
Okay. And this article, it begins with, it reminded me of the scene out of It's a Wonderful Life with George Bailey.
Oh,
you know, he's
really?
Walking along and suddenly there's an interruption. It's like, come with us quickly, your father.
True.
And that's kind of one of your openings. So maybe set the stage for this article, or do you just want to read it and then talk about it?
No, it's a story about my dad when he had a heart attack and then what happened.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Great. And it's titled?
Being There. Yeah, so Jim, you're needed on the phone. It was Thursday, February 25th, 1999. I was standing on a platform in front of a crowd of pastors in beautiful Santa Barbara, California. But in the middle of my teaching on small group ministry, I was called off stage. I suddenly learned that my dad had just had a heart attack and might not live. Fortunately, I was co-teaching the three-day seminar, and my partner would be able to take over and finish the session and the seminar without me. So I booked this red-eye flight home to Houston, Texas, where I repacked my suitcase. Then I flew on to Indiana to be with my dad and mom. My oldest brother was even further away. He was on a mission trip in India. But like me and my older brother Dave, he headed out as soon as he could to the hospital in Goshen, Indiana, where my dad was in intensive care. When I got there, I learned from my mom, a nurse, that my dad's heart had stopped, and she had called 911. When the paramedics arrived, it was apparent that Dad was dead. Hmm. She told them, he signed a do not resuscitate document, so you don't need to revive him. But they told her that they had to resuscitate him, and that if she didn't want him to be resuscitated, that she should not have called them.
Mm-hmm.
So they shocked my dad's heart into action, and they whisked him away to the hospital. So when I got there, Dad was unconscious. He was just kept alive by respirator and breathing tubes, feeding tubes. And my brothers and I and the other family members, we talked to him, but we got no response. Some days, his health showed some minor improvements, like he'd take a few breaths on his own. And some days it got worse, but he was totally unresponsive. Nothing changed. So we sat and we talked and we reminisced and prayed. At least one of us was always there with Dad. On Wednesday, after 6 days, he seemed stable. And Mom and I decided we need to get a break. We need to get out of here. So we left Dad by himself for the first time. And we went together with my sister-in-law and my nephew to a diner in downtown Goshen for a change of scenery and some different food. And when the four of us got back to intensive care, Dad's pastor was there, Bob. Bob had been visiting every day. He chatted and prayed with us. But that Wednesday, he took a different approach. He talked directly to Dad. He quoted Psalms 23 from heart. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He quoted the whole thing from heart. And then again, totally from memory, he recalled Jesus' words from John 14. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. And then he looked directly at Dad. He said, Art, we know you love Jesus and that you're ready to meet him. And I want you to know that it's okay with us if you leave to go be with him. You don't have to stay here with us. Immediately after he said that, Jesus must have come for Dad because everything changed. We hadn't seen Dad respond to us at all since his heart attack. But he opened his eyes wide. He reached his arms forward. He sat straight up in bed. But he wasn't looking at us. He was looking straight ahead, past us. He stretched his arms and hands fully forward as he sat up in bed. Then just as suddenly as he sat up and looked and reached, he fell back in bed and his heart monitor flatlined. Dad had met Jesus and left us. I guess Bob wanted us to know that he didn't have superpowers because he turned to us and he said, that doesn't happen to me a lot. My dad, Arthur John Egley, was born August 2nd, 1917. He would be 101 if he were alive today. But he actually is alive. He's very much alive. I know because on March 3rd, 1999, I saw him exit on cue. At Pastor Bob's prompting, he left the world of the dying and entered the world of the living.
That's quite a thing. And that's a beautiful picture of your parents on their wedding day.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Now, is Pastor Bob, is he still alive?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. I assume he's retired because he was close to retirement age then.
Classic. It doesn't happen to me a lot.
I love it.
One thing, we talked off air about having a sense of humor. Was your dad like that? Did he give that as a gift to your brothers and family members?
He would joke around some. I wouldn't say he was a jokester, but yeah, he was a great dad.
Well, that age and that vintage, my dad was 1919, and they were the hardworking. They were that great generation, many World War II veterans and people that served and built this country and didn't maybe express a lot of times, I love you, or they weren't like the warm fuzzies that a lot of us have nowadays.
That was exactly my dad,
was that age bracket, but.
That's beautiful.
Any other special memories about your dad? This is kind of a tribute to, it's a tribute to God, a unique way that God brought him home, but that you knew he finished well, he loved the Lord, so you had a peace about it, and then the fact that pastor said, you know, Arthur, if it's time for you to go home and be with the Lord, you know, your family's secure, they know where you're going, go ahead, and, you know, however God worked that out, that's kind of very unique.
You hear that sometimes. Somebody just comes right back and you see they see something that we can't see. It's amazing.
Yeah, and he, you know, we had no indication, you know, basically for almost a week we were talking to him and telling him we loved him, and we had, you know, he never opened an eye.
My goodness.
And then when Bob's talking to him, you know, you know he's just talking to him like he's talking to you or me, but you didn't know that Dad heard him.
And then suddenly there it was.
Yeah, then suddenly he just like sat straight up in bed, reached his arm straight forward.
He saw something.
Yeah, he didn't look at us. But his eyes were wide open. And, you know, I don't know if it's Jesus or angels, but,
God.
I'll be anxious to ask him someday, just what happened there?
Well, and they say, like, when people are in comas and such, be very mindful, even children in the womb. And, I mean, I've heard many studies and people talk about, you know, they can process, they can understand, maybe, you know, we don't know how fully exactly, but to be very conscious, you know, be positive, be talking, be affirming. Trust that, you know, even in the state where maybe it doesn't seem like they're responding, they could be processing a lot more. And
they could be told, even though they can't reply to you, they could be hearing every word you say.
That's true. Well, praise God.
Yeah,
that was a beautiful story. Well, thank you for the work you're doing. My word, this is incredible. This is a big deal, this New Generations. I like it.
Does New Generations, do you have a website?
Yeah, we do. It's just newgenerations.org.
Oh, very simple. Newgenerations.org. You can find out the ministry work that Jim and Vicki are doing around the world, especially equipping church planters in Africa and Asia, many unreached people, and sharing the good news message of Jesus. We were talking off air just the fact that all of us love the fact that we get this opportunity to share Jesus, this great Lord and Savior, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, certainly sovereign representation of God to mankind. And yet, he suffered for us. He died for us. He's followed God's plan so that that redemptive message we get to preach to everyone, and we get to spend eternity. I mean, it's the good news message that you're getting to share and train others to share with others. And what a great life work. So if our listeners are encouraged and blessed by today's broadcast, stop by newgenerations.org.
Yeah, if people want to sign up, they can do that there. Like if you like to pray for unreached people groups. We have a monthly prayer letter that goes out and just highlights things to pray for, or even churches. Some churches feel a special call to a certain country, and there's just so many still. There's thousands of unreached people groups, but certain churches feel called to take one on.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, they do.
Yeah, to pray for it and kind of adopt it.
That's great.
Make it their own. So that's another option.
Yeah. Well, and thank you for accepting the missionary call upon your life.
Thank
and
you.
Vicki.
All right, everyone. Well, stop by newgenerations.org, newgenerations.org, or pick up this month's edition of the Prime Life Times, section B8, and you'll see a story called Being There, and you'll see Jim's mother and dad there, their wedding
picture.
Really nice. All right, everyone. Well, hopefully be blessed today. Walk in the Spirit. Allow God to organize and order your steps and be that ambassador and that witness for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, thank you, Jim, for joining us. Thank you, Marianne.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
Today a man is somewhere proclaiming the good news, winning families to Jesus all around his neighborhood. He tells them that God is to make their house a home. He wants to win his world for Christ, but he can't do it alone. But he